Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 28, entitled Puranjana Becomes a Woman in His Next Life, Text 24. Purim Vihaya Bhagata Uparudu Bhujangama Yadatame Vanupuri Vishna Prakritim Gata Purim Vihaya Pagata Uparudo Bhujangamaha Yadatame Vanupuri Vishna Prakritim Gata Purim Vihaya Pagata Uparudu Bhujangama Yadachamme Vanukuri Vishna Prakritim Gata.
Having given up.
Upagata,
gone out.
Uparudaha,
arrested.
Bhujangamaha,
the serpent.
Yada,
when.
Tam,
him.
Eva,
certainly.
Anu,
after.
Puri,
the city.
Vishirna,
scattered.
Prakritim,
matter.
Gata,
turned into.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada.
Prabhupada ki.
The serpent who had already been arrested by the soldiers of Yavana Raj and was out of the city began to follow his master along with the others. As soon as they all left the city, it was immediately dismantled and smashed to dust. afterward. When the living entity is arrested, all his followers, namely the life air, the senses, and sense objects, immediately leave the lump of matter, the body. When the living entity and his companions leave, the body no longer works, but turns into basic material elements, earth, water, fire, air, and ether. When a city attacked by enemies is vacated by its inhabitants, the enemy immediately takes advantage of that city and bombards it to smash the whole thing to dust. When we say, dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return, we refer to the body. When a city is attacked and bombarded by enemies, the citizens generally leave, and the city ceases to exist. It is a foolish person who engages in improving the condition of a city without caring for the citizens or inhabitants. Similarly, a living entity who is not properly enlightened in spiritual knowledge simply takes care of the external body, not knowing that the spirit soul is the principal factor within the body. When one is advanced in spiritual knowledge, the spirit soul is saved from eternal transmigration. The Bhagavatam considers those who are attached to their bodies to be like cows and asses. Sa eva go karaha. The cow is a very innocent animal, and the ass is a beast of burden. One who labors under the bodily conception simply works like an ass and does not know his self-interest. It is therefore said, Yashatma buddhi kuna petri datuke svadhi kalatradishu boma ijya di yattirta buddhi salile na karichit sa janish abhijesu sa eva gokaraha. A human being who identifies this body made of three elements with his self, who considers the byproducts of the body to be his kinsmen, who considers the land of birth worshipable, and who goes to a place of pilgrimage simply to take a bath rather than meet men of transcendental knowledge there, is to be considered like an ass or a cow. Bhagavatam 10.84.13. Human civilization devoid of Krishna consciousness is simply a civilization of lower animals. Sometimes such a civilization may study the dead body and consider the brain or the heart. However, no part of the body is important unless the spirit soul is present. In a modern civilization of cows and asses, scientists try to search out some value in the brain or heart of a dead man. Om Yamachimiranda Shajananjana Shalabaya Chakshuram Militam Dina Tashmaishi Kuravinama Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this verse is dealing with, very bluntly, with what's going to happen to all of us. I'm 37, so if I'm lucky, I might have 50 years left. But who knows? I could go out the main gate later today and get hit by a bus. This is entirely possible. So the good news, of course, is that I'm not this body. I'm a spirit soul. And yet, here it is, wherever I go. Gitanagari Prabhu said to me the other day that we may not be our body, but we are intimately attached to it. Was it?
Like,
intimately related to it, yes. So why? Why do I carry around this lump of bile and mucus, blood, bones, skin, ignorance? Of course the answer is that I wanted it. I was there in the spiritual world. That's why we say back to Godhead. We were there, all of us. And we got this idea that maybe there's something over here, you know. Maybe looking at Krishna, he's controlling, he's enjoying. Let me try that. So the thing is, Krishna already has given us how to control Krishna. That's Krishna Prem. Krishna allows himself to be controlled by his pure unalloyed devotees. But we're going over here, so that doesn't work, right? So we must get something else to work with. Krishna being the source of all mercy, he's not mental. Like, we get mental. We're 1/10,000th of a tip of a hair. So we have this tendency to get mental when we can't control and things are happening and what's going on, you know. Krishna's not like that. He's very merciful. So you want to go over there? Okay. There you go. External energy. Enjoy. Have fun. So we start dealing with that. You see, the problem is that internal potency, internal energy, it's all consciousness. It's all conscious. So if we want to go over here and deal not properly, then we can't do it with the internal potency, because that would not be quite fair. I mean, this table, it doesn't really care how I deal with it. It couldn't care less, because it's unconscious dead matter. So if we want to deal not properly, it's perfect. Perfect medium. As soon as we are ready to deal properly, we can come back inside the internal energy. It's very simple. So, obviously the problem for us is that we are very minute and very small, and we don't know everything that's going on, which means that we don't actually know the consequences of our choices. So when we say we want to go over here and enjoy and try and control and have a little fun with that, what we're missing is that the natural consequence of that is that we get attached. So actually, we're still uncontaminated pure spirit soul, but we've been covered by these attachments. So this is the war that's going on. This verse describes the war of a city, right? So this is the war that's going on between our attachments and our dormant understanding that we actually don't belong here. So naturally, the object is to get out. And in order to get out, Prabhupada gives us the perfect method. And the key element to this perfect method is sense control. And sense control means mind control, because the mind is what gets attached. These attachments that keep us here, they're all rooted in the mind. So the thing is, if we don't control the senses control us, or the mind controls us. And the mind controlling us is basically the same as we being completely out of control. Because the mind doesn't really, there's no intelligence in the mind. The intelligence can control the mind, but the mind controlling the intelligence is completely without direction. We know, if we've ever seen a child that's been completely spoiled and always gotten its way, that child is completely out of control. And the child also is miserable. So in the same way, if we are not able to control our mind, we become miserable, attached and miserable. And this is basically what's going on. I have an example of this from recently. I'm blessed with the I've gotten the service of doing the announcements in the morning at Mangalarati. And I was some days ago, I wanted to welcome back Jananivas Prabhu, and for some reason I said Srinivas Prabhu. And I was so embarrassed by that. So after Mangalarati, I ran out of there, got home, and said, I was like, what did I do? This is like Het Pujari, most important person in Mayapur, and here I am, I don't know his name, you know. And the mind was all over the place, the emotions, you know. And the funny thing I realized was that it was all about me. It wasn't about Jnanivas Prabhu, it wasn't about doing the mistake. It was all about, oh, all these devotees heard me make an error or mistake, and what are they thinking about me. And realizing that, I was able to let go of it, and okay, it was not so important. So this is how the mind works. It's limitless. It doesn't stop. The mind doesn't say enough is enough, you know. The pain you get in the belly will tell you when to stop eating rasgullas. The mind will not do it. It'll just keep going. I had lunch yesterday, and one brahmachari, he grabbed into the bucket and he just slammed 8 rasgullas on the plate for me. So, I mean, it's prasadam, you know. I'm usually very austere, but hey, you know, it's there. And it's funny, the mind just wanted more, but I was luckily able to control the mind to a certain extent and get up and get out of there. So this is an ongoing process. What we really are is not the mind, obviously. We are consciousness. Or consciousness is the symptom of what we are, which is the soul. And the consciousness has to be conscious of something. Like, if we are seeing, we have to see something. We can't see nothing. We wouldn't really call that seeing. So in the same way, the consciousness has to be focused on something or pointing towards something. And there are basically 5 places that the mind can be directed at. Now, lowest we have the senses, simply the senses and the enjoyment of the senses. We call this anamaya. This is basically your lower animal consciousness. Just, can I eat it? Can I kill it? I mean, that's basically it. Now, above that, we have pranamaya, which is the mind, as we were just discussing. Here we have emotions, attachments, extended sense gratification is what we call it, family life. Some people are very into football or cricket or some sports. So if they're really into this sports team, this is also pranamaya. You're extending your sense gratification beyond your own senses. So if this team wins, that makes me happy. But it's still me, but it's just extended to something else. Now above that, we have manamoy, which is the level of intelligence. This is where morals come in, ethics, economy, justice. In the Veda, we call it dharma, the inherent nature of things. There is an understanding that it's not just about what I feel like, but actually there is a proper way of doing things. Like the paintbrush, you wouldn't use it to brush your teeth. You can go for it, but there's a purpose to everything around us. And if we use things according to that purpose, things go much more smoothly. So above that, there is vijnanamaya. Now this is the understanding that, wait a minute, that all may be true, but it still makes me attached, you know. I just get attached to doing things the right way instead of the wrong way. In the lower consciousness, you would actually prefer to do things the wrong way because then that makes you feel unique. This is, you see it all the time in the West that, oh, this artist, he used a cow to paint with. Great, you know. And people go to the opening and, wow, you know. But at the vijnanamaya, you realize that, okay, doing things in the right way and mode of goodness, it's great, but you still get attached. It's still not you. So that's the knowledge of detachment. But as we were discussing before, consciousness has to be directed at something, so then what? Just detach yourself from everything and just be conscious about consciousness? It's not going to work, because what we are, we have 3 elements, Sat, Chit, Ananda. We're eternal, we're active, and we're blissful. So this activity has to be going on. It's an inherent quality in our soul, in what we really are. So it doesn't work. And that's why the only thing that really works is the topmost consciousness, which is Anandamaya, or simply Krishna consciousness. It's the only thing that works. So when we chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ramo, Hare Ramo, Ramo Ramo, Hare Hare, what is happening is that we're drawing our consciousness away from these lower modes and towards the supreme goal, the Krishna consciousness. And one interesting thing is that even though this is what we call our Sanatana Dharma, or Nitya Dharma also, actually there is something even more important than chanting, and this is the preaching. Prabhupada said that preaching is more important than bhajan. This is because preaching generates bhajan. It generates chanting. Chanting or bhajan doesn't necessarily generate preaching. So this is a very important point in what we are doing here. Now, a new temple is coming up, and so many people will be coming, so it's an amazing opportunity, and it's been, I mean, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he said 100 years ago this is going to happen, so the question is, are we ready for that? Actually, there's only one way to be ready, is to do it. So as this progresses, we should remind ourselves that the preaching is actually, it's a key thing in what we're doing. We are Goshtinandi, not Bhajanana. Our movement is about the preaching. It is a preaching movement. And the bhajan, the chanting and the glorification, the Bhagavatam class, the Harinam, Prasadam, that all of that, that follows naturally if we are just out preaching the message of Godhead. It's like if you say, you can go to the concert, all you have to do is buy a ticket. Then in reality, that's not all you have to do, right? You have to remember to breathe once in a while because there's some time. You have to figure out where is the concert, blink with the eyes and get something to eat, maybe take rest if there's a couple of days. All these things, they come naturally. The principle is get the ticket, then everything else goes nicely. So actually, if we say, just preach, then everything else comes naturally. So an element in preaching, a key element, is association, the right association. And association is not just about proximity, about being close, but it's also about the mentality. We should be taking association from those senior to us and giving association to those who are junior to us, or maybe who are not even devotees. So this is a very important element in keeping our Krishna consciousness dynamic. This is what will, in the end, will take us back to Godhead, is to keep it dynamic. As long as we're accepting service, whatever it may be, menial service, or, I mean, it doesn't matter. Actually, often menial service is the best service because it has the tendency to smash your false ego. Like, I could be sitting here and thinking of myself as very qualified because I'm giving class. And I'm not giving class in Timbuktu or in Denmark. I'm giving class in Mayapur, the holy dam, right? You know, and the mind starts going again. It's tricky like that. So taking care of Tulsi, washing the floors, toilet. I mean, toilet seva is great because it just smashes your false ego totally. That gives us so much mercy. As I was saying earlier, I've been doing the announcements, and initially I didn't want to, because actually I'm quite a shy person, and all these devotees looking at me, and what if I make a mistake, and suddenly, you know, but I just had to say yes, because I did know that the only way to get rid of that pride, see, I thought of it as humility, but it's not, it's pride. It's all about me. I don't want people to think that I'm a schmutz. You know, I want them to think I'm a very elevated devotee. And it's not about Krishna. It's not about service to Krishna. It's just about me and my mind and my attachments. So that we can't have. So I said yes. And every morning I'm chipping away at my false ego. And hopefully someday I will actually be a real devotee. And often, of course, when we're doing this and when we are dynamic, it's not inherent in that, or in that we can see that it's not black and white. It's not like, I was on pranamoy, but now today I'm on manamoy because I went up a level. It fades, right? We have the kanista adhikari, where it's basically Krishna and me, or more me and then Krishna and then everybody else, right? And we have the Madhyamadhikari, where it's Krishna, the devotees, of which I am one, and then everybody else. And then the Uttamadhikari, who sees everything as Krishna's energy, which is actually the proper way of seeing things. But it's not like three boxes. It fades. We have also the Shraddha to Prem, from Shraddha, which is faith. Then comes Bhajana Kriya, association. Through faith, we would seek out the association of the devotees. And then comes the, what's the word? Yes, Sadhusanga, and the Anartha, Nivritti, Nista, steadiness in devotional service. Then comes Ruchi, the taste for the holy name comes, and it becomes something that you enjoy doing. And Ashakti, the attachments to the process, now you can't live without it, you have to go to Mangalarati. And then Bhava, and then in the end, full Prema. This, still, it's not like steps on a ladder, it fades and it's always there. Like when we're associating with the devotees, we still have the faith, it's not like that disappears, right? So we basically, and we were discussing the five levels of consciousness just before also. This also goes, fades up and down, and we have to just keep working at it until we get there. So it's like we have Hiranyakashipu in one end, and we have Prahlad Maharaj in the other end, and in between, that's us, you know. So, in Krishna consciousness, or in the Vedic philosophy, there is a way of analyzing situations, sambandha abhideya prayojana. Sambandha being the situation, the relationship between you and whatever it is that you're relating to, and then abhideya, which is the process, the work, the activity, and then prayojana, which is the ultimate goal. So in Krishna consciousness, the prayojana is fairly easy. That's Krishna, right? The ultimate goal is Krishna. Now, sambandha means all we have to actually really do is acknowledge and realize that we're servants of Krishna. Not that we want to be or we want to become. No, we are. That's what we are. Anything else is a misconception. It's not that I choose to be something else. No, you are. I can't choose to be a peacock. It's not, I'm not, I'm a servant of Krishna, I'm a jiva. So when we realize that, that's like figuring out, we have like one path. And in the one end of the path is Krishna, and the other end of the path is material energy. So all we have to do is figure out, are we pointing in the right direction? Are we pointing towards Krishna? Great, if we are. And the second is the abhideya, the work. Is it dynamic? Are we accepting service? Are we out there associating with the devotees? Are we doing harinam? It's not so important what devotional activities we're doing, as long as we're out there doing it. That means we're moving towards Krishna. So in that light, it's not really so important where you are on the path, as long as your sambandha and your abhideya is correct, you're facing the right way and you're moving. That's great, because we have plenty of time. In fact, we have eternal time. That's one of the qualities, one of the great things about being spirit soul, is that we're not actually mortal. Our bodies are mortal, but we're eternal. So just go along, slowly, slowly. We have all the time in the world. But it gets more fun if we push ourselves a little bit. As long as we don't go mental, the mind, you know, going crazy and then shuts down, as long as we don't do that, then it's okay to push a little bit, because it does get more fun, and we do get a lot of mercy from Krishna. He likes to play. He has a sportive nature. So when we're out there and we're not entirely sure if we are actually capable of what we're doing, like right now, this is my first class here in Mayapur, so sitting down on the Vyasasan, I have no idea what I'm actually doing, or if this is going to go well or not well, but it is more fun like that. So this is basically the point. The problem is that we have a tendency to get attached to the form instead of the ultimate goal. I said earlier that we have the Sanatan Dharma, the eternal Dharma is actually just servant of Krishna. This can take many forms when we apply it in reality. There is Harinam, there's doing class, there is doing books, cooking for Krishna, taking care of Tulsi, puja, you know, all sorts of activities are there. But we should be careful not to get attached to the activity and to think that the activity is the devotion. The devotion is the consciousness with which the activity is performed. Prabhupada gave us a wonderful, perfect program with all sorts of activities with which we can manifest this mood of devotion to Krishna. But we should not think that it's the material activity that is the devotion. That's just the material activity. If we're not remembering Krishna, then we're just selling books, or we're just playing music, or we're just cooking a potato. It's not devotional service just because we're performing the activity. Now, the chanting of the holy name, that is devotional service. The preaching, that is devotional service. It's a devotional activity, whether we realize it or not. We get devotional benefit from it, whether we realize it or not. People who are passing by Harinam, if they're drunk and out of their mind, if they sing the Maha Mantra, even if they're like taunting and pointing fingers at the devotees, they are getting benefit. But some of these others, we actually have to be conscious that it is devotional service. Krishna consciousness, it's not the International Society for Great Sadhana, you know, it's the International Society for Krishna consciousness. So this we should always remind ourselves and each other that that the material energy is a facility so that we realize that we are consciousness. This is what is real. The material energy, it's temporary, and it's illusion that it has any value on its own. So when we renounce things, I give up sense gratification for Krishna, that's great, but it's not actually accurate, because there is no gratification in the senses. We think there is, and that way we can kind of convince ourselves that if I get this car, if I get this house, beautiful wife, these things, then I will be happy. And we get a little bit of taste, right? We think, oh, this is going to be so great. But in reality, it's not really great. You get the new car, how long is it going to take before it's not so great anymore? And the greater the car is, the more the anxiety every time you take it for a ride. Because what if someone crashes into it, or I leave it here and maybe someone steals it, or someone scratches the paint, or oh no, you know. And very quickly, you've gotten used to having this car. It's not a big deal anymore, it's just, oh, that's just my car. And then the whole thing with the maintenance, because the material energy, it deteriorates. It's not like it's gonna deteriorate, it deteriorates constantly. When you're building a new house, it's already falling apart. You know? So that's the lesson that we're here to learn. And fortunately, we're here together with a lot of other jivas who also thought that this would be great and who also don't know entirely how to deal. So in that way, we can see each other and wait a minute, there is this dormant understanding that this is actually not right. That's why people get very disappointed. And materialists, they're kind of frustrated all the time. They still in their mind have this idea, because a lack of a better idea, that the material energy will make them happy. But it's just not true. I'm from Denmark, which is probably as far as you can get away from Mayapur in terms of culture. They have a firm faith in the material energy, and as such, they lead quite miserable lives. This is just the facts. We have 10% of the, more than 10% of the entire population is addicted to alcohol. That's from 0 years of age to 100 years of age. 10% of the adult population is on antidepressants. We have one of the highest suicide rates. But the buses go on time, and the wages are good, and people, I mean, they look good, dress smartly and stuff like that. And that's how they keep reminding themselves that they're happy even though they're really not. So this is the job that is cut out for us now, right? Again, huge temple coming up, people will be coming, attention will be drawn to what we're doing here. Preaching is extremely important. It is what, as long as we're preaching, Maya can't touch us. This is when we see, last summer I was in Europe. I'm in Europe every summer, and the rest of the year I'm here. And I was preaching, and I found it extremely difficult because the culture shock, I was coming from here and it was very nice, and suddenly you're there in this hardcore material society. But those devotees who were there and were successful, they were preaching, they were very fixed up actually. I was very impressed. Those who are not preaching, not so fixed up, you know? It goes, and then, oh, well, chocolate ice cream, you know, it's not so bad, you know, and well, the newspaper, and well, it's nice to go to a concert. And it's okay, because, I mean, as long as you want to serve Krishna, you are considered a devotee, but it's just very obvious that those who were preaching actively, they were untouchable. So this is just, as long as we do that, we are untouchable. Maya can't touch us. I was going on Harinams and I was doing seminars, and before it was difficult. I was going out there and there's this huge contrast between what we're doing and the remaining society around us. But as soon as you get out there and you start chanting the holy name, it just disappears, it evaporates. Even people that were kind of inimical, they are, not many are there actually. It's mostly in our minds that, oh, people don't like it, but they do come. And even that, you kind of laugh at it. I mean, as long as there's one, two devotees there with you, you know, okay, so what are you gonna do? And afterwards, it's ecstatic, it's blissful. So we're a preaching mission. And when we're preaching, obviously, we should be considering what we have in common with whoever it is that we're preaching with. That's the brilliance of Prabhupada, is that no matter who he was talking with, he could take whatever it was they were into, he could take that and find Krishna in it. So he was very embracing in that way. You know, I was talking earlier about the Kanista, the Majjam, and the Uttama Adhikari. Prabhupada, he's a Nitya Siddha, he's an eternally liberated soul. He was never in the material world. He was in the external energy, but there's a difference. Like, external energy is just the external energy of the Lord. We don't call it material unless we see it as separate from Krishna. That's the material. It's the mindset, right? It's Krishna consciousness, and then there's material consciousness. But Prabhupada, he was just in the external energy. External energy, internal energy, you know, it doesn't matter for him. He's just Krishna consciousness, full-blown prema. So he was able to take whatever, whoever he was talking with, whatever they said, he was able to take that and go along with it and find Krishna in it. Perfect preaching. Now, obviously, we're not Prabhupada, but we can learn from him. So, when we're preaching, try to see where kind of the circles overlap. See, what is it about this person that could fit? Like, earlier I said, Prabhupada gave us the perfect process. There's everything, cooking, singing, dancing, playing music, scholarship, or there's actually basically something, if no matter what material hobby or interest you have, there is a way to dovetail it into Krishna consciousness. Now, when we're able to do that, we're also able to get the trust of whoever it is we're talking with, and then can we start to say, well, maybe this drinking is not so good, or this illicit sex, or this gambling, right? Meat eating. That's the one I always found the hardest. Discussing Denmark, I mean, classical Danish cuisine is called whatever the meat is called. A friend of mine became vegetarian, and her grandmother said, but don't you get tired of potatoes and gravy? Because that's basically the non-meat part of a classical Danish cuisine. So it's a tough one in Denmark. It was funny because I would have thought that illicit sex would be the difficult one, but people get very fried out with the meat eating for some reason. So this means that we really, really need to before we get into these things, we need to acquire the trust of whoever it is that we're talking to. We have to let them know that we're not out to get them, we're not out to take something away, rather that we're out to add something to their life, to enrich their lives. And actually, I mean, what we're doing is we're liberating them from their attachments if we do successful preaching. So this should always be our focus. And in this way, we generate bhajan, we generate the taste for chanting and the consciousness of Krishna, and we get the unlimited mercy of Krishna. And in that way, everything works out very, very nicely. Because it's dynamic, it keeps moving, it keeps spreading, and in that way, we will please Prabhupada. So I think I will end here. Are there any questions, comments, chastisements, corrections? Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, thank you. Antaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Nitya Gaura Premanande.